Well, if you have your handout, look on the back, and you'll see that we've got just 2 points for us tonight. I thought I'd take about an hour with each of them. Not really. Most of you laughed very encouragingly like I could, but there was a couple of you that had that ha-ha laugh. We'll take about 12 minutes with each and just kind of walk through how that we are speechless before God. How that, you know, maybe I can get, I think the clicker in the back. Do you mind hooking me back up maybe? No problem. You know what, as we see on the handout, we're not born with the right relationship with God. And we can only have a right relationship with God through Jesus. And how that the law teaches us that every single one of us have broken his law, that we're all speechless before God. I travel all over the United States, and so people ask me all the time, they say, so what do you do for a living? And I tell them, well, I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they go, really? They say, well, I've got something to ask you, or I've got something to tell you, or I've got something that you should know, or something along that line. And usually within that whole conversation, what begins to happen is they begin to tell me how that they've done a lot of good works, or they begin to tell me how that they're righteous, or they begin to tell me that they're better than this person over here. And do you know what God has done? God has given us his law so that every mouth would be stopped and all the world would become guilty before God. He's given us his law so that we'd all become speechless before God. I went to school in the North Woods of Wisconsin, and a senior came back from town, and he drove through a little speed trap town in Wisconsin. I'm sure there's no speed trap towns here, right, Pastor? I'm sure there's a lot of speed trap towns. He's coming down a hill. And he sees an officer going the other direction. I mean, what do you do when you see a cop going the other way? What do you do? Did you really all say slow down? I don't even need to preach. You just said you're guilty. Did you hear that? Well, he looked down at the speedometer, realized he was going about 15 miles over the speed limit. He looks in his rearview mirror, and he sees the brake lights come on the cruiser. He doesn't know for sure that he's going to get pulled over, so he floors it. He goes all the way down the street. He takes a right-hand turn. He goes all the way down that street. It tees. He takes another right-hand turn. He goes all the way down this dead-end street, and he pulls into the driveway of the house on the right-hand side of the street, and he just sits there. This is a Bible college student just ran from the law, and he's trying to think, now, why did I just do that? He's just sitting there, just kind of thinking. His heart's pounding. His breath's shallow, a bead of sweat. Can you imagine being in the car with him? He takes his keys, he puts them back in the ignition, he's looking down the road, and, well, here comes the cruiser. I mean, here comes the cop. I mean, here comes the policeman. Here he's coming. He's not lights aren't on. He's just driving kind of slow, and he's just driving down. My friend's going, unbelievable. He's just watching this happen, and then it dawns on him. It's 5 o'clock. It's time for people to go home. My friend Jim parked at the policeman's house. The cop gets out and says, what are you doing at my house? Jim's like, I don't know. He's caught. The law caught him. He was speechless. He had no excuses. And you know that's what God's law does for every single one of us. It just simply teaches us we're not born with a right relationship with God. In fact, there's a word that I want us to understand. It's a word that you could walk away, really understand. It's the word righteous. You see, God alone is righteous. What does righteousness mean? Well, it's defined as the quality of being morally right and without sin. That's what righteousness is. So if I am righteous, then I am morally right and without sin, but only God is perfectly righteous. And therefore, only those that are righteous can enter into a relationship with him. So God is righteous. He's perfect. He's morally pure. He's without sin. God is righteous. We are not righteous. In fact, how many of you drove on the road with somebody else that was driving that was unrighteous. I mean, it just happens all the time. I mean, there's a whole lot of unrighteous drivers, aren't there? How many of you dropped off some unrighteous children at school today, right? But how many of those kids woke up and had an unrighteous parent feed them some breakfast today, right? You know, we're all not righteous. There's none righteous. No, not one. In fact, in the book of Romans, you could fact check me. In Romans chapter 1, he just says the irreligious are not righteous. And you know what? In a city like Reno, we've got a whole unchurched population. And so a lot of people are like, yeah, they're not righteous. But you want to know what Romans chapter 2 does? Romans chapter 2 comes into the church and goes, hey, church, you're not righteous. And then Romans chapter 3 just kind of says, we are all not righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. You see, only God is righteous. Only God is perfectly and morally unspotted with sin. We are not righteous. In fact, he just begins to explain it. He goes, your tongue or your throat is an open grave. It's like you open your mouth and something fell in and died and now it stinks. Do people ever use their words to hurt? Do people ever use their mouth to sin? You see, their mouth, it's just this open grave. Their feet are swift to shed blood. I mean, people are so quick to hurt other people, aren't they? People are so quick to say words that are unkind and do unkind deeds, but there is no fear of God before their eyes. In fact, what the book of Romans does is the book of Romans makes it really hard for anyone to even think that they're righteous. You see, God's righteous. We are not righteous. Nobody has measured up to the standard of which God requires for us to enter into a right relationship with God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But he goes on and says, we are all guilty before God. It's not just that I've fallen short. I've actually made choices that offend God. I've actually made choices that declare my sin against God. And so that's why God gave us his law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may be held accountable to God. Or in another translation, it says that all the world may become guilty before God. You see, I'm telling you, a lot of times I'll talk to people and they're just kind of like, oh, you know what, yeah, everyone's a sinner. Have you ever noticed that we all like to think of us collectively as sinners, but individually as righteous? We're like, oh, yeah, everyone's bad, but, you know, I'm not that bad. I was in Alabama. Did you know that everyone's a Christian in Alabama? Did you know that? And the pastor, that's a joke, just in case you don't know. The pastor said, hey, Will you come with me and just share the good news, the gospel, with this senior lady? And I'd just love for you to go over. She's my friend. And I heard friend, I heard senior lady, and I thought plate of cookies, senior lady. That's what I thought. I thought like sweet lady with cookies. That's just what was in my brain. And we walk up to the door, and it was soon apparent to me there were going to be no plate of cookies. And she just looked at me, and she looked at the pastor, and the pastor says, hi, this is Will, and he's come to share the gospel. And she goes, huh? And I'm thinking, okay, I'm getting set up right now. And she goes, get it out. That's what she said. She said, get it out. And I'm from the West, so I take people literally. And I didn't know that sometimes people from the South say things they don't really mean. So she said, get it out. I'm just going to get it out. She really meant, I'd like you to leave, but I thought she meant get it out. So I just start talking. I said, well, ma'am, are you a sinner? And she looked at me, and she rolled her southerns, and she goes, well, I do declare. I said, well, ma'am, the Bible gave us the law, and the law shows us that we're all sinners. And ma'am, have you ever lied before? And she looked at me, and she goes, well, just what we've all lied before. I said, well, ma'am, then you're a sinner. She goes, well, I don't like to think of it that way. I said, ma'am, have you ever stolen anything before? And she goes, well, just a few things as a little girl. I said, well, ma'am, lies and stealing, it makes us sinners. And she's just getting more and more bothered, and I'm getting more and more nervous. You ever get nervous and talk faster? That's what I was doing. I was just, I just started working my way through the Ten Commandments, and I'm thinking, I got to get this done and out of here because this is not going well. And I'm just working down the Ten Commandments, and I get down to thou shalt not covet. And I'm telling you, all of a sudden, this lady looked at me, looked at her pastor friend, and it was like the blinders just fell off. And she goes, you know what? She's talking to her pastor friend. She goes, you know what? I just never knew I was this bad. I was thinking, you should have asked somebody. We're all bad, aren't we? Seriously, I mean, who here could stand up and say, I'm without sin? I mean, who here could stand up and say, I've never broken God's law? I mean, I am righteous. No, none of us could. In fact, that's why the law was given to us, to just simply show us we're not righteous. We're guilty before God. He gave us his law so that everyone would be held accountable to God and eventually the judgment of God. And the wages of that sin is death. Because of my sin, I deserve to die. Because of my own individual choices. It's not just that I have an inherent sin nature. That means that I was born with a propensity to selfishness and sin. But it spills out where I have made choices to go against God's law. I've made choices to go astray. I deserve the wrath of God. But then we start thinking. So I've broken God's law. I deserve his wrath. Well, maybe I'll try to do more good things than bad things. Who's ever heard that before? Hey, really, in the heart of man, do you know that we're addicted to religion? Religion is me coming up with some external standard of which I try to achieve so that somehow I can have a right relationship with God. Or maybe it's like a philosophy. I just got this philosophy of life that somehow I'm going to achieve some standard of my own goodness. But then we forget that word that we're all supposed to remember, and it's the word righteousness. You see, righteousness is that standard of which God requires. It's being entirely without sin. I mean, not one time. In fact, James talks about this. He says, whoever shall keep the whole law, yet offend at one point, he's guilty of all. And what we begin to realize is that when we're sinners, some of us turn around and go like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to now keep the law. I broke the law over here, and I'm going to try to keep the law over here. But what is said in Romans, and you can read through this yourself, he says, for by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight. Now I was telling you about that word righteousness. Now, that's usually a noun, righteousness. But when you make it a verb, it becomes the word justified. And so you could translate or you could kind of understand justified as declaring one as righteous. So justified, if I'm going to justify myself, how many of you have ever been accused of something that you know you did not do? And what do? You fold your arms and you're like, uh-uh. You're like, I did not. Let me just tell you how I did not. I mean, and what do? We begin to justify ourselves. And what is he saying? He says, so by the law, by somehow doing and fulfilling some of the law, no person is going to be declared as righteous before God because that's not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is that we would know that we're sinners. Now, let me just kind of help us illustrate this. Let me come at it from different angles, and maybe this will help the light bulb go on for some of us. So how many of you have ever been at a meal, and you were having a great time, you were sharing your heart? I mean, it's just like, it was just one of those special moments, you're just really sharing your heart, and then you slip into the restroom, and you look in the mirror, and you've got a piece of broccoli in your teeth. And you were so passionate that your friend just didn't have the heart to kind of, you know, you got something. Well, the mirror showed you that your teeth had something in them. But you don't take the mirror off the wall and start scraping your teeth. That's not the purpose of the mirror. The purpose of the mirror is just to show you that there's something not right. The law, its entire purpose is to show us the character of God and how we have not measured up to it. The law is simply to show us that we've broken his requirements of what it takes to be righteous. Tomorrow I'm going to Elko. And last time I went to Elko, it was not good. I was coming over the Sierra Nevadas. We came down the mountain. And then somewhere between here and Elko, we blew some bearings. And I'm on the side of the road. And so I've already got some of those affections in my heart that I just want to put the, you know, let's just say I put the pedal to the metal, okay? And I'm just cruising down, and I'm going like, I don't know, like 20, 30 miles over the speed limit. And a Nevada State cop pulls me over, and he walks up, and he goes, son, do you know why I pulled you over? Now, normally, when the state trooper says that, we go, uh-uh. But I'm honest. I'm an honest guy. I just said, oh, yes, sir. I think I was about 25, 26 over the speed limit. And he looks at me, and he's kind of like, what is going in there? And I said, officer, I know I was speeding. But I just want to tell you a few things about myself. First of all, I did not commit murder today. Two, all these kids in here, I didn't kidnap them. They're mine. And guess what else? Today, I actually gave $100 to the United Way. What do you think he'd do? He'd be like, dude, you need to get out and walk the line. That's what he'd do. He'd be like, something's not right up there. You see, none of those good behaviors, none of my keeping of those other major laws somehow negates me from getting probably a reckless driving ticket. You see, I think some of us are a little bit broken. It's almost like we come up with our own rules. Have you ever watched little kids play games before? Man, pretty soon they win every time, and one kid's mad, and it's because the other kid's a little bit older and changes the rules, right? And that's how we are. Here we are. We're mad. We're mad because somehow God's keeping us to a standard of perfection, and we can't quite keep up. And so we begin to create religion. We begin to create our own philosophies. We begin to create something. I got to change the rules here. I mean, look at all the good I've done. I mean, I'm really a nice guy. I've done more good than bad, but God's not asking if you've done more good or bad. He's asking, have you kept his law? He's asking if you're righteous. He's asking if you're entirely morally right. And what does the law tell us? It told all of us just a little bit ago. None of us. You know, at the very core of us wanting to keep the law and wanting to come up with our own rules, it's very illogical when you think about it. Now, there was a man, he left his tent. He went and stole 100 pieces of gold. He went back to his tent. He felt a little bad, so he took 10 pieces of gold, and he went out and found 10 poor people, and he gave them all a piece of gold. And he goes back to his tent, and he feels justified. I did 10 good things, and only one bad thing. You see, for me to say that somehow by me choosing and picking which laws are most important, I'm the one that's now establishing value. I'm now saying which one's important, which one's not so important. I'm the one that's now ascribing really what I think how humankind should live. I'm actually becoming God, aren't I? You see, the text is very obvious. The works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. Do you know you do not have the capacity to save yourself? Do you know that you are inherently sinful? That you've got a selfishness that runs through you so thoroughly that there's no good work of your own that will somehow make you righteous before God. It's like me going to the hospital and the oncologist tells me, you've got stage 4 cancer. In fact, it's not just cancer. It's kind of it's a form of leukemia. Our only hope is to do some form of a bone marrow transplant, and we're going to kill all the bone marrow in you, and then we're going to find a donor, and we're going to put it in you. But it's, you've got a difficult case. Your blood type is so rare. We've got to find somebody that's just like you, and even has some genetic similarities. I mean, we got to find somebody in your family probably that we can get this bone marrow transplant from. And I look at that doctor with all sincerity, and I go, well, first of all, I want to say thank you so much for telling me about my problem. But number two, I am not worried at all because I know somebody who could be that bone marrow transplant for me. And he goes, who? Do they have the right blood type? Do they have the same genetic stream? I said, oh yeah. He says, well, who is it? I say, it's me. He says, can we just take the bone marrow from this arm? Stick it over here? It's pretty silly when we start thinking we can save ourselves, isn't it? How can we, a broken sinner, who's offended God, somehow be our own Savior? And you know what we begin to see through the law is that the law teaches me that I'm not born with the right relationship with God. I've actually gone astray. I'm actually guilty before God, and the keeping of the law will never declare me as righteous. He says, God's righteous. I'm not righteous, and I can't make myself righteous. But secondly, we learn this. We can only have a right relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, what we begin to realize right here in this passage of Scripture, he says the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. So God's goodness, God is good. We see it. God is morally right. I am not. I cannot make my own. But what he begins to tell me is that there's some way that I can actually have the righteousness of God. And so the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. You see, there's no distinction between the poor or the rich or really the Greek or the Jew or the slave or the free. He says all people can come to God and have his righteousness even though they don't have it, even though they cannot make their own. They can have the righteousness of God if they will believe. Well, believe what? Romans 3 verse 23 tells us, believe that my sin keeps me from having a right relationship with God. It's one thing for me to talk about it. It's another thing for us to joke about it. It's another thing for us to poke fun at other people that don't see that they're sinners. But have you ever seen that you're a sinner? I mean, seriously, like, have you ever come to grips with the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? No person here has measured up to the standard of which God requires. And you know what this verse does? This verse works both ways. Every once in a while, I'll come into a church and there'll be somebody walking in and they just feel like they've got it all figured out and they're just all Mr. Christian clean and they're just walking in and it's almost like they're saying, you know what? I'm a really good person. And what does this verse say? It says, no, you're not. But actually, the intended purpose of this verse is flipped because there's people coming here and they'll look around and they'll say, I'll never be as good as those people. In fact, I meet some folks like that. I met folks even this week that you've just told me some hard things about your life. I mean, I had a neighbor. I took him to breakfast 5 times over one summer before he died. And he looked at me one time, he goes, God can't save me. God can't save me. Tears coming down his face because all the bad things he'd done. And I want you to hear something. Ain't nobody got the righteousness they need. Right. We've all broken God's law. We all deserve God's wrath. And your sin is not too big for God. Right. You are a wretch. You are a sinner. But where your sin is big, God's grace is bigger. Amen. I'm telling you, we're all sinners. We're all broken. We've all busted the law. And what does this law teach us? That we cannot have a right relationship. We're not born with a right relationship with God. We can only have a right relationship with God through Jesus Christ, believing what? Believing that I'm a sinner. Believing that I have a debt that I cannot pay, but that Jesus paid a debt that he did not owe. Believe that my sin can only be removed through the finished work of Jesus Christ. You see, this is what's going on here. My sin is so bad. Jesus Christ, God the Son, comes to this earth. He lives perfectly. He lives righteously. They take Jesus Christ, and we celebrate it on Good Friday. And they take Jesus Christ, and they lead him to a cross. And Jesus Christ, God the Son, willingly goes with them. They whip his back until it bleeds into the soil. They take a crown of thorns, and they smash it into his head. They mock him, they spit on him, they curse him. But the most horrific aspect of the crucifixion of Jesus was not something that you actually saw with your eyes. It was the fact that Jesus looks up to the heaven and he says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And the Father turns his face away from his own child so that you could be accepted. You see, Jesus Christ became sin for us. You see, it was pictured very perfectly with those two thieves. And one of those thieves was joining in the cursing against Jesus. But one of those thieves said, can you save me? And Jesus says, today you'll be with me in paradise. And though you could not see it with your eyes, all of the sin of this man was lifted and put on Jesus. And all of Jesus Christ's righteousness was given to this man. You see, my sin can only be removed through the finished work of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid a debt he did not owe. We are justified by his grace. Remember the word justified? What is that? That's the verb idea of the noun righteousness. God is righteous. We are not righteous. I cannot declare myself as righteous. I cannot justify myself, but I can be justified by God's grace. I can be declared as righteous as a gift. God's grace given to me. I don't deserve it. I'm a sinner. I'm a wretch. I deserve wrath, and he gives me grace. What kind of amazing love is that? It's through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, but it's not cheap. Oh, it's free to sinners. But Jesus paid the price. Redemption. You ever gotten a gift card? P.F. Chang's? Anybody know P.F. Chang's? I got one for $50 for Christmas. Christy and I are going to go live it up because you know Chinese restaurants, $50, you could go three times, right? Not P.F. Chang's. And we let it sit. We sat on it for about a year or so, and finally we had an open night, and it happened to be on Valentine's Day. And we don't have many open nights. We're in services like this, and it was on Valentine's Day. I said, hey, baby, we got that card. Let's go. So we drove. One of the team sat back and watched our kids, and we went over there, and we got to P.F. Chang's, and the ladies with the clipboard, and I'm like, and she's like, what's your name? I'm thinking, what a friendly restaurant. I said, Will. She goes, like, your last name. I said, Galkin. She goes, your name's not on here. I said, I know. Just put us on. She goes, you don't understand something. It's Valentine's Day. I said, no, I know it's Valentine's Day. That's why we're out. She goes, no. The whole town is out. And they all got reservations. She gave me that nonverbal, duh, you know. It's going to be 60, 70 minutes. And Christy and I are like, who cares? We got a babysitter. So we went, sat next in the Starbucks, waited for a little buzzer to go off, come back in, look at the menu, go, ooh, they're getting all 50. Okay, great, no problem. No problem, I got it, you know. We're having fun, you know, we're just laughing. You know what it's like when you haven't really got out with your spouse for a while and all of a sudden you're just loving life and talking and laughing. And I'm just like, man, this is great, man. We should try this more often. And, you know, and we're just having fun and it's just great. And the server comes and gives us the bill and we tip good because somebody else is paying for it, right? We got the gift card, just got to redeem it. And I reach in my pocket, though, and I pull out my credit card. And I just sign away, just a happy kid I am. Yeah, woo, yeah. Drive home, reach into my other pocket, and there's the gift card. Do you ever call yourself names? What were you thinking? And so rather than enjoy somebody else's gift, I charged my own hurt. You know what's amazing to me? I can take about 20-some minutes of your time, and I can walk you through 7 verses so far, and talk to you about how Jesus Christ, God the Son, died for your sins, how your works will never save you, and you can even intellectually get it. For me to think that somehow I can save myself, that doesn't make sense. And you know what's so amazing? I can talk to you as frank as this, and some of us will still walk out that door thinking that somehow my good behavior saves me. That's how sinful we are. We are in lust with ourself. We love sin, that somehow we want to be our own God. No, you have a sin debt you cannot pay, and Jesus paid a sin debt he did not owe, and Jesus endured a punishment he did not deserve. You see, in our politically correct society, everybody likes us to throw up a card that says, God loves you, but you really don't understand God's love until you understand his holiness and his wrath. Can you just listen? We deserve the wrath of God. I have sinned against a holy God. I deserve a bucket of his judgment to come from heaven. And yet Jesus Christ, that word propitiation, he says God put forward as a propitiation. It means the satisfier of the wrath of God. You see, God's wrath is coming down the freight line. He's like a freight liner of wrath, and it's coming down the tracks of time. And I deserve the wrath of God. But you want to know something? Jesus got in the way of the wrath of the Father. Jesus Christ could absorb all of the wrath of God, for Jesus is God. You see, this is not some works of your own. You can have a right relationship with God because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. But you know what? It's not just knowing these truths. It's not just even feeling these truths. I mean, I was in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, and this good old boy, he came out of the service, and he goes, oh, buddy, that just touched my heart. I'm telling you, that just touched my heart. He's saying his heart was stirred. I know some of your hearts were stirred. I mean, this was a fun concert. I mean, I didn't do anything. I mean, I just listened too. I mean, I enjoyed this. And we just heard a message, and there's some heart-touching components. You think about sin and God and Jesus, and he goes, oh, man, Will, that was just touching. I just touched my heart. I said, sir, do you know becoming a Christian is not just kind of hearing something and having your heart touch? It's you giving your life to Jesus Christ. It's really giving yourself to Jesus Christ, that he'd be your Lord and Savior. He goes, oh, yeah, I've known about Jesus, man. My daddy, he's a deacon at such and such Baptist church, and my uncle, I mean, he's like a trustee over at such and such Creek Baptist church, and I've known all this for all my life. I mean, I just grew up on this, and this just touched my heart. I said, sir, I don't care if it touched your heart. Have you ever given your life to Jesus? Have you ever turned from your sin and put your faith and trust in Christ alone? I was in Twin Falls. That's where I grew up. I was preaching on something else. Get done, walking out, and this couple sitting in the back just going back and forth, just talking. I thought, oh, something's not right. I walked up to them, and I thought, this is going to be rough. And I walked up to them, and the lady was the spokesman, and she goes, do you think we can come back on Sunday so we can ask Jesus to save us? I said, ma'am, you do not have to wait till Sunday. And you don't even have to be in a church building, because guess what? This building did not die on the cross for your sins. And you don't even need me around, because you don't need a pastor or a religious ruler or a priest. You can go right to God through Jesus Christ. Why don't you just now cry out and ask the Lord to be your Savior? I mean, just cry out. And she goes, it was kind of like, she must have heard, you know, Christian lingo or stuff, because she's like, dear God, I'm a sinner, and I deserve wrath, and I deserve to die for my sin, but I believe Jesus died on the cross for me, and was buried and rose again. I just trust in Jesus Christ alone. And she's just like crying out to God. It was really sweet. And then her husband, he goes, God, I'm bad. I'm just really bad. He's like, you know how bad I am. I've done so many bad things. I'm just, everything I do is bad. I say bad things. I do bad things. God, I'm just so bad. God, I'm just so bad. I don't have any hope. God, I'm just so bad. God, I'm bad. Can you save a bad person? God, I need you to save a bad person. God, I can't go anywhere else. Oh, God, save me. I'm a bad, bad person. Oh, God, save me. You ever seen how bad you are? You've offended God. You've broken his law. You deserve the wrath of God. And yet Jesus Christ took the wrath of God. And then he conquered sin and raised from the dead to be your Lord and Savior. Would you run from your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone? Let's bow our heads together. Can we think about this together? With their heads bowed, who'd say, Will, I know Christ. He's my Savior. I have asked the Lord to be my Savior. I've given my life to Christ. I just know that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, Will, I know Christ. I really do. You can put your hands down. Who'd say, Will, I don't know if I know Christ. I don't know if Jesus is my Savior. I don't know. And I'd like you to pray for me. Would you lift your hand and say, Will, I don't know if I know Christ is my Savior. I don't know if I know Christ is my Savior. Just keep your hand up. See some folks. Are there others? Will, I don't know Christ is my Savior. I don't know if I know Jesus. Would you put your hand up? Okay. Are there others? Just looking around. In a moment, I'm going to pray for you. My prayer won't save you. Do you know that? I'm not a priest. I don't have any spiritual ability to save you. But if you understand what's going on here, like you understand this in your brain, and God's at work in your heart, you're convicted, you feel bad over your sin, and you're attracted to Jesus to save you, would you just run from your sin and put your faith and trust in Jesus right now? Like right now, would you just cry out to God to be your Savior? It's not the exact prayer that saves. It's a broken heart over sin, trusting in Jesus Christ alone. Why don't you cry out to God something like this? Dear God, I am a sinner. I have broken your law. I deserve your punishment. Would you please forgive me? I believe Jesus died for me. I believe that he was buried. I believe that he rose again. Oh God, save me. If you, in your own words, if you truly understood this, believe it to be true, and cried out to God and asked the Lord to save you tonight, would you just lift your hand and say, well, I just asked the Lord to save me. I meant that. I cried out to God and I asked him to save me. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Just let me see your hand. Okay. I'm just looking around. Okay. Yeah, I see quite a few of you actually. Who else say, well, I did pray. I did ask the Lord to save me. I meant that. Would you just put your hand up and say, well, I prayed that. I meant that. Okay. Would you all look up this way? You can put your hands down. Would you look up this way? How many of you are thankful for those that asked the Lord to save? Would you say amen?
Amen.
You know what? That's really a wonderful thing. If you truly meant that, I mean, we're rejoicing. I mean, seriously, you can't. I mean, we'd maybe be hopping up and down, because when somebody goes from death to life, that's a pretty awesome thing. You know what we'd love to do is here in a second, we'd love just to stand on our feet. And I'm going to pray for those that ask me to pray for them. I'm going to pray that God just continues just doing such a work that you just really understand Christ, know Christ. And if you truly ask the Lord to be your Savior, I'd love it if you'd just come and tell us. You know, with our heads bowed, we're just going to keep our heads bowed. And you just slip out of your chair. I'll be down here. Pastor will be. And you just come and say, I asked the Lord to save me. You say, well, why would you do that? I'll tell you why. Because with our heart we believe and with the mouth we confess. We're just like, I believe this and I just want you to know it. And I want everyone to know it. And you know what I ask? Because we love you. And you know what? I've had 5 kids, and every single time there was a kid, guess what we had to do? We had to care for that child. And if you were just born, you're like a babe in Christ and you need somebody to come alongside and help you. And you know what shepherds do? That's what a pastor is. A pastor is a shepherd. They care for lambs. And if you just ask the Lord to be your Savior, would you just slip out of your chair and come and just come up here and tell Pastor, say, I ask Christ to save me. And we'd love just to connect with you and help you grow in Jesus Christ. And so let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed. With our heads bowed. Father, I just pray for those that said they trusted Christ. Lord, I pray for those that are thinking about this, that, Lord, they too would come and let somebody show them how to know Christ. In Jesus' name we pray with our heads.